we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something in your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We got a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on some edification, and I have a good sermon today, and it was given by the late Bishop G. E. Patterson, who at one time was the head of the Church of God in Christ, and I believe his church was there in Memphis, Tennessee, and he preached a sermon once about learn your place and stay in it. Learn your place and stay in it. Get close to your radio and listen as Bishop G. Patterson preaches.
Bless your choir. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Numbers. The second chapter, I want to speak with you. Hopefully I will be brief, but not too brief because it's yet early. And the message is not really one of those kind of messages that I just enjoy preaching, but there comes a time when the Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he prescribes that which might be medicine. But sometimes when you're sick, you got to have some medicine to get the poison out of your system. And if it appears to be medicine, just recognize that whatever it is, it is what I truly believe that the Lord has ordered for us at this time. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things in Christ. We thank you for the gathering of thy people in this place on this another Lord's Day. We realize that even since last Sunday, many have gone into judgment, some prepared, but so many unprepared. But we praise you, God, that you gave us another opportunity to come to your house and to worship you in the beauty of holiness. Oh, God, we thank you. We're not here because our righteousness have exceeded anyone else's, but we're here simply because you have been merciful. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your long suffering in our direction. Glory to God. Lord, let your word go forth today. You promised in your word that my word is gone out from me and it will not return unto me void. But we know that it will accomplish the purpose whereunto it is sent. touch us today, O God, then let us leave this place with a greater sense of understanding concerning your will for every one of us individually. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Numbers, chapter 2, if you would read with me, verse 17. Come on and read it aloud with me. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward, every man in his place by their All right, now listen, this is what I want you to get. Every man in his place. Every man in his place. Reach over and touch somebody and tell them, learn your place and stay in it. Amen. Now, I firmly believe that in the body of Christ, which is the church, that every believer has a place. Don't pay any attention to the size of the congregation. Pay no attention to the swelled numbers on the membership roll. Whether the church is large, small, medium size, every individual that the Lord adds to the church, he gives them a place. Now, I will admit that many people are somewhat bewildered, upset, discouraged, frustrated even, because they have not been able to find their place. But through effectual and fervent prayer and through a diligent search of God's word and through your own individual sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord, you can find your place. Jesus said something to the effect that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And one reason that so many of us have not been able to listen to the voice of the Spirit, we have not developed that sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And you have to be conditioned. You've got to be conditioned to develop the proper kind of sensitivity to the Spirit of God. One thing you find by reading the Holy Bible is that the Lord does not compete for our attention. Now remember that. The Lord never competes for our attention. Was it not the prophet Elijah that wanted to hear from the Lord, and he went and stood in a certain place, and he heard the mighty sound of a rushing wind, tornadic form wind, force wind, shall I say. But God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the thunder. God was not in any of those loud and tempestuous kinds of demonstrations. When the Lord finally spoke to him, he spoke to him in a still, small voice. I can remember as a youngster growing up in the church, I would hear often either somebody sing it or quote the words or a minister refer to it. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ the Lord. There is a certain relationship that you don't develop with God in public prayer. Huh? fact, while we all are standing around like you were a few moments ago for the altar prayer, and everybody is crying out to the Lord, there are things about yourself, things about your problem, that you won't tell God in that kind of a prayer. But when you get home, and not only home, but close your door, and make sure everybody else in the house is asleep, there's a different kind of communication that we have with God. And when you are seeking His will and His direction and wanting to know from Him, Lord, where do I fit? You develop a kind of ongoing relationship with God that you can speak to Him in the peace and quietude of your own spirit. And He's able to point out to you just exactly what He would have you to do. Now, this second chapter of Numbers, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but it gives us the formation of Israel, not as they marched, nor as they were engaged in battle, but this was the formation God gave them to camp during your passive moments. When you're not marching, not going anywhere, you're not fighting, you're getting ready to go to sleep, you're getting ready to dwell. And the Lord gave them this formation. And when you read this entire second chapter of Numbers and read it carefully, you'll find out that what the Lord is saying to them is that the tabernacle of the congregation, and the tabernacle of the congregation is also called in some other translation, the tent of meeting. In other words, it's the place where the people of God would come together. Now remember, it was Solomon that God used to fulfill his father David's dream of building for the Lord a house. I say what you want to, everybody, and don't get me wrong, I'm not pinning flowers and I'm not being braggadocious, but everybody is not chosen by God to build a house. You know, I've seen a lot of men go into building programs to try to build a church. I remember at one time in Detroit when our family first moved there, looked like just about everybody who undertook to build a church, whether there or people I knew in other cities, they were having heart attacks and strokes and dying before opening day. And if by chance they got a chance to go to opening day, they didn't get a chance to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Because building a house for the Lord takes something out of you. You know, you've got to be conditioned by God and called by Him to do certain things. Just to look around and see what somebody else did and say, if he did it, I can do it. You better know that God have called you to do that. You'll kill yourself trying to do something because somebody else did it. I was talking to some ministers the other day, and I feel quite sometime embarrassed when preachers are saying things like Elder Askew was saying a few minutes ago, and I'm not ignorant of the fact of what the Lord has blessed me to accomplish, but now I'm not foolish enough to think that what you see as the Bountiful Blessings Ministry and Temple of Deliverance, it's not Gilbert Patterson. And then the fact is that I'm not my own creation. See, there's a lot in my roots that prepared me for this day that I don't have nothing to do with. I didn't have a thing to do with my heritage, my spiritual heritage. But when you look at the background, God prepared me for this day. I didn't have nothing to do with it. It's just like Jeremiah. In that first chapter, when the Lord said, you know, before I called you forth out of your mother's womb, I ordained you a prophet to the nation. And when you are born for a divine purpose, you didn't make yourself what you are. You know, and I run up on a lot of preachers that figure, well, you know, well, if Gilbert Patterson did it, I can do it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I couldn't do it, and no other man couldn't do it if God had not predetermined and predestined that this day would be. And I'd be a fool to stand up here with my chest out gloating, huh? Because of something that God chose me to do before I was even born. Hello, y'all. You see, when God chooses you, and I don't want to keep going off on this, but this is why so many folk cannot find what God wants them to do. You are too busy looking at other folk. But to find where God wants you to fit, you got to stop looking at other folk and look within. Let me get back to this. God was telling Israel how he wanted them to set up their camp. All right? Later on, Solomon, as I first stated, would build a temple. But before the days of the temple, they had a tabernacle. They had a tent. They had something that they could put up and take down. And the Lord, in the second chapter of Numbers, was giving them the instruction concerning when they wandered from one place to another and got ready to set up their camp. He said that the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle of the congregation, whatever you want to call it, that would be in the center. And that the Levites would encamp all the way around the tent. Now the tribe of Levi, remember, there are 12 tribes, but the tribe of Levi was the tribe that was chosen to do the service of the house of the Lord. It was the tribe for the priests. It was the tribe for those that would be the musicians and those that would do whatever pertained to the service of the tabernacle. So the Lord said, now for this reason, the other 11 tribes were to tithe to the one tribe, because the one tribe was the one that would do the work of the tabernacle. Now the Lord said, when you set up your tent, first of all, the Levites will encamp completely around it. Yes, and then he named all of the rest of the tribes and who was going to camp on what side and where they would camp. And this is what it's all about. And the Lord wanted them to know that I want you to camp there and I want you to have your banners displayed. Huh? And everybody was to remain in their place. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. Don't you fool yourself. I know Dr. Hinton and a few other ministers who have been here that are Pentecostal, are deliverance ministers. They comment on the fact, and even though it's not what I want it to be, but I've heard many of them comment on the fact that here at Temple of Deliverance, it's so unusual to find a Pentecostal holiness body among us, you know, that have not only the spirit but order. And you notice it most of the time, you find folk that believe in freedom of the spirit. We think freedom of the spirit just means freedom, period. To walk and talk and right in the middle of any phase, jump up and go see, honey, I didn't know you was here. And right in the middle of the sermon, hugging and kissing. There's a time for hugging and kissing. And it's a time to sit up and be quiet and listen. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. Being saved doesn't mean that you, you know, it don't mean that you don't have any order. Being saved does not mean that you're just so free and easy as though when you go to the house of the Lord, you're somewhere in a carnival. You know, in our bulletin, we've got that church conduct. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of the Lord. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. I know that people come to church, and sometimes, especially when the service run long, and for one reason or another, you may have to make a trip out. Maybe an emergency trip, or you may make it to keep it from becoming an emergency. But you got a lot of folk that go to church, and church is just somewhere to parade. You know, I want to make sure that everybody see me and make sure that they know that I just got this hat, just got this suit, just got the, you know, and just parade. Touch somebody and tell them our God is a God of order. You have a place in God. That's what I want to get over to you today. No matter who you are,
think you got to be a preacher to have a place. Don't think you got to be a musician or a special soloist to have a place. Glory to God. You may sit halfway the building or you may sit in the balcony, but if you are saved and by the one Spirit baptized into the one body, you have a place. Why don't you tell two or three people that you've got a place in God? You've got a place in God. You've got a place in God. You've got a place in the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. I've never been to a presidential inaugural ball. I don't have no place there. You all don't hear what I'm saying. Whole lot of things go on I don't even check out. You know, the devil is so tricky. You know, he's got you all now, especially folk my color. Right now, the hot thing is the movie Color Purple. And Color Purple ain't about sanctification. It ain't got nothing in it that's holy. Not from what I can hear about it. But because one of the known gospel singers wrote a number or two, and they got a holy background for their unholy action, church folk are running to see Color Purple. I haven't been to see Color Purple. I don't have no place there. But I got a place in God. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. I know some of y'all can't say amen because you just left from down there, but hallelujah. Whole lot of things go on I don't have no place in. But I can shout the victory today. I've got a place in God. And I'm glad I've advanced a little further than some folk. I know where my place is. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong, because somebody, I heard your mind clicking. Yeah, I know, you know, he's the apostle. His place is up top. But see, Jesus said this, that he that is greatest among you, let him be your minister, which is the servant. I was saying to a couple of the preachers the other day that everybody within this congregation who lose relatives, sick, or whatever, I said, I'm going to, even now, especially since I'm going to have to be gone, you know, one weekend out of a month to take care of the business of the church in Detroit. So the 3 weeks that I'm here, I'm going to serve harder than I ever have. You know, I'm not going to let nobody, if I can possibly make it, have to go through death and through all of the things folk go through without the aid of their pastor. Huh? Because I found out that when God gives you a certain place of respect and honor, it's also a place of service. You know, and anybody who thinks that God put you somewhere for you to be Lord, he's the only Lord and master. The higher he lifts us, the greater opportunity he gives us to serve. Hallelujah. Anybody else in here know your place? Thank God I have a place and I know it. If you know that, reach over and tell somebody, thank God I have a place and I know my place. Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Glory, hallelujah. I feel a stirring in my spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every member of the body of Christ has a place. And I keep repeating it, you. It doesn't matter who you are, you may not have a voice. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but you got a place. You may not be an orator. You can't get up and preach or make speeches. But you have a place. Most of the trouble in the church comes from people either not knowing or refusing to stay in their place. Now you watch that. Whenever there's trouble brewing in the church, you can look and you're going to find somebody out of their place. Now in a church that is like ours, and you know, churches have basically two forms of government. There is the congregational form and there is the episcopal form. And the congregational form of government is that which is basically practiced, say, in the Baptist church and a few others, where every local church is its own autonomy. There is no power, no force outside of that church that says anything. They vote on everything, and they vote in their pastor. They tell him what he can do and what he can't do. Some of them even tell him what he can preach. You know, and everything is congregationally controlled. But in that Episcopal form of government, it's like you have in the Catholic or the Episcopal church, where there is what is known as a hierarchy. And the power does not come from the bottom up, but it reaches from the top down. And the one in charge at the top, he presides over clergymen. So it means that even those pastors, evangelists, and different ones that are not on a lay part, they are obligated to obey the authority over them, just like the local member is obligated to obey the pastor over him or her. Now, if you remember when Jesus encountered that Roman centurion, and the centurion had a son sick, or servant, whichever it was, and told Jesus about it, and Jesus said, well, I'll go home with you and heal him. And the man said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And then he went on to explain how he revered Jesus. He said, you don't have to do nothing but send your word. See, I am a man under. He didn't say in. He said, I'm a man under authority. What that centurion meant is that there are 100 Roman soldiers under me. But my power does not come from the fact that I am in authority over 100. But my authority comes from the fact that I'm in a chain of command. That there's somebody over me. And the 100 soldiers under me obey me because I'm under somebody. And those 100 soldiers can overpower me, but they won't bother me because they know that over me is another official. And over that official is Caesar in Rome. And if that 100 soldiers rebel against me, Caesar himself will bring the legions from Rome, and he'll make sure that every one of those 100 have to pay the price. He said, I understand how your kingdom works. It's a chain of command.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there. That was Bishop Bishop Patterson, G.E. Patterson. All right. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long. We're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.